Hello, Mighty One. Welcome to the Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. I am your host, Aspirity, the benefactor of Kazamatsuri, and here joining me today we have Bizkit Dough, also known as Tasty Medici.
It's pointless!
Papa Peeps, aka Deathflag Kun.
Hello! Ah!
And Bowie.
Yeah, that's me.
This week on Charlotte, episode Charlotte, where we find out about Charlotte without seeing Charlotte, and hey, this story just started taking itself seriously. Our new protagonist sees you as a threat to the stability of the power user's lives and confines him to the facility while Ayumi just goes along with everything. Yu has fun with his new friends and only spares a moment for Nao-Nao, rip our other two main cast. Shit goes down and Orma family Kun ruins everything, causing Pu and Nao-Nao to get captured, tortured, and the Brotherhood decides to send their final trump card after to save them. Of course, things go horribly wrong and he loses his make everything better power, causing Pu to die saving Nao-Nao, and then they fucking torched it! What the hell is up with that ending, guys?
What kind of a decision was that? Like, seriously? How do you go and make such a great episode and then just ruin it by showing that you clearly don't know anything at all about what the artist actually wants to have done? Fucking PA works.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. Oh. Just need a second, guy.
off camera, Aspie fucked that up twice before he actually got it right. Just saying. Who's the real master? let's just start with generally, how did you like the episode? And then as a second question, how do you think the episode fits in with the series as a whole? Pepe, you go first.
All right. How did I like the episode? I thought it was enjoyable. As a form of entertainment, I thought it was good. Because I was excited at the stuff that was happening. I thought the drama was pretty good. Like, it genuinely took me for 30 minutes and it was something that I was able to really get myself absorbed in, which I think is good. However, I have some bad points which I'll probably talk about later. How does it fit in with the whole show? It's way too sudden, man. It's way too unexpected, I think.
Unexpected? Yeah. I've been expecting this from episode fucking one! What the hell? Like, this should have happened long ago, I feel like. This wasn't unexpected. This was late. This was overdue.
I'm being more specific here. It's not the sudden baddies coming to attack that's unexpected. It's the actual thing that attacked them that's unexpected.
What, you mean the terrorists?
So, yeah.
You're saying that the terrorists are unexpected?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I already kind of said this, and I mean, you don't really have to agree with it, but I would say that I feel like we've been waiting for some sort of antagonist force of something for
that's
a while
true.
Now.
And all this time, we've thought the antagonist force would be the scientists. A lot of people were expecting the scientists to come in at some point and fuck shit up. That's not what happened.
Which,
like you, even you, bit, you were thinking
yeah,
that it was
absolutely.
The school itself that was gonna fuck shit
yeah,
up.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
Well, honestly,
yeah,
even the
and I was wrong, and that's fine.
Even the scientists
but,
that you're talking about have been just this sort of faceless entity, like. Other than one episode, and even then, all we saw was a bunch of security guards. For the most part, we never even saw what they were supposed to do.
There was, like, this weird, like, mix where, like, we referred to them as the evil scientists, and then we talked about the Brotherhood, which kind of turned out to be something a little bit more positive. Mm-hmm. But there was always just kind of this desire for something, right? And we just didn't know what the name or the face was going to be. And whether or not that'll even be fleshed out, who knows? Mm. But as far as I'm concerned, like, there's been a lot of just little pieces in the show so far that have just made me just keep wanting to know something's got to go wrong here whenever you have such an immense amount of power. And it started to actually just completely come into form in two different ways. The first thing was whenever they started talking about time leaping and how, like, the presentation kind of changed. Because, like, whenever they did the time leap and they showed, like, the previous timeline or whatever, there was kind of these security guards and stuff, and it was kind of reminiscent of like how the school has this security force, right? And now you have Shunsuke, who has this underground lair where it's the scientists working, and then in the time leap or the other time it was kind of the same thing, right? It's almost like that's kind of where he got his inspiration from. But so, like, you had these two things, and it's like, it's almost like whenever there was, like, a time leap, it's kind of like things just kind of shifted as far as the presentation's concerned. So, like, you could have, like, one force that's kind of like an antagonist force, and then now that's kind of the... They're kind of like the defending force, like how the school is basically kind of like what the facility could have or was, but it's much nicer. But when you take that and then you talk about this episode specifically, where like they actually like kind of spoon fed it to you at the beginning, I think, in the first half of the episode, where it was like it started to become kind of really apparent. And this is where I would say you could call this like bad writing, but I think it was. It was like there was foreshadowing, but it was like way too sudden.
All the foreshadowing because it was in the same episode, was in the same episode. Yes.
Yeah, it definitely starts with the phone call to Furuki, and then they start talking about the witch hunting and stuff in the past, and that's whenever I started to feel kind of uneasy. Where I was just like, oh, well, this is going to be kind of important pretty soon.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Especially whenever I had already kind of had that idea that something was going to happen.
Yes, that's something I've been waiting for a very long time. The politics of the lives of the power users should be more important than it has been up until this point. That's what I kept feeling. Like, there's all these kids wandering around with supernatural powers that could change the course of the world. Like, we even had it foreshadowed with stuff like the scientists and how they're using these powers to create weapons for war. And it's like, this is really interesting stuff. And they've kind of been glossing over it for the entire series, I feel.
It's like what I said with the Brotherhood idea way back when, as I said, like, there has to be someone somewhere who's using these powers in a negative light, right? There's gotta be.
Absolutely.
It's like, the world is not a perfect place. There's gotta be somebody.
Yeah.
And that's exactly a topic that they brought up, is that there's probably, you know, powers that be overseas that are probably... already getting ready to band together and make some shit happen.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I felt wasn't foreshadowed well enough. Because I personally, especially when it comes to works of literature, well, works of fiction, I think foreshadowing is a very important part of these pieces of fiction that can really get the reader more absorbed into the world that they are coming into. Because, like, a lot of people, I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of people who did think it was sudden. They might be wrong. They might not be wrong, but that's what they felt.
I think it's sudden to a degree that it was an intentional, like, shock factor.
So, with a decent amount of foreshadowing, the viewers could have looked at it from a going forward perspective. Like, they could definitely get themselves invested ever since the past episodes that, oh, there are people who are using powers to do bad, and we might see them in the future, we might not see them in the future, but when they do come, it will still be a shock because we don't know how they'll come, but they do come. Like, if, for example, it was the scientists that attacked them, then there would still be a shock factor, right?
Well, depending on what they do. You could refer to, like, the terrorist force. It's kind of like, there's, like, the mix of the idea of witch hunts, and there's also, like, the idea that it could be a mercenary force working for scientists of another nation that are looking to try to corral.
But we don't know that, right? Like,
no, you don't. But I also don't think that, well, I understand the foreshadowing idea is definitely, you make a good point. There are a few ways I'll respond to that. One is the idea of the anime being something that's in a third person's perspective, and this was the topic that came up, and then how this anime is very much so almost like a VN perspective.
Yes, where it
we're
is.
Like 95% to 99% of the time we're you. You're you, like, all the time. Like, everything that he sees is what you see. Everything he thinks is what you think, and that's pretty much the everything you get, right?
You is you.
And the only things that really stand out as changing this are the scenes where, specifically this episode, where we follow Kumagami. And that scene just speaks to me so much as your typical Kevian perspective switch. Whereas I guarantee you that that would have been a moment while they're planning whatever they're going to do, you're probably in Kumagami's shoes and having to go through the horrible experiences that he's going through his eyes. And I feel like seeing that was something that was very important.
I think that if we focus too much on the first-person perspective, especially in the medium of anime where we can't hear the character's thoughts and emotions, not like in a VN or in a book, then we have to use perspective to a better advantage. Like, I think they should, if
I think if they true. Use and if I they think, use anime I think to that their, is yeah. I think that's actually a pretty good testament to the fact that we're talking about Maeda, who doesn't write for anime. So I think that that's yeah. I think that that's
one point. Thing that I noticed, like after talking about it over the week. A lot of it is very first person. A lot of it is very VN.
I don't particularly think that that makes it bad per se. I think it just makes it a very different thing and not something you would expect, which is definitely something that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I would respond to, could it be a waste of the medium? Possibly. Because they could take advantage of these things. But I still think that they're taking advantage of a lot of other things pretty well. But a lot of that ends up going onto PA work shoulders to try to present that in the right way. It's just like how in Angel Beats they tried to do a lot of things visually, but not a lot of it really worked out. But anyways, another response that I would have to that is we have to think about airtime. We're talking about 13 episodes. And could they do it? Well, sure. But in a situation like this, it's kind of hard to really do it.
Like,
because we have to make sure, like, when I think about, okay, well, what if they did a scene in a previous episode where they foreshadowed these events by showing the terrorists or something? I think that would be a problem, because when I think about the series as a whole, personally to me, I feel like if you took away almost any scene of any previous episode, barring some comedy, maybe, and even that still kind of, like, is a nice flavor towards character development, I feel like it takes away from the series. I feel like almost anything that you cut would just make it worse, because it's already super tight.
Even
the baseball episode. And to further add to that, you mentioned the idea of showing other power wielders that are using their powers in nefarious ways. Well, that's exactly what we got. We already saw that with all the other characters It's like, it's not full blown because they don't want to remove the shock factor of it being as horrible as it is, but we already saw characters who were using it for kind of nefarious means, with the exception of Baseball Coon, who it was still cheating, but it was there. And it's like how I was saying even back then, is that it's kind of weird how you're seeing these people and they're kind of not doing the right things with their powers.
Mm-hmm. It's been a theme from the very start.
Number one, I don't want to give a specific example of foreshadowing because I'm not a writer. I know that any example I can give is a bad example because I'm not a writer. But I know it can definitely be written in a better way, and I know that they can definitely spare one line of dialogue or two that would give just the right amount of foreshadowing that wouldn't sacrifice anything, I think.
Well, like, for me, I'm a huge fan of, in literature and in writing, of subtle foreshadowing, not throw it up in your face and make it deathly obvious. For a good example of that, if you watch the first episode of Gakugarashi, they do a excellent job of using just little visual cues just to throw just a little bit of foreshadowing. And I think they could have got away with that in Charlotte, even if it was something as simple as if Yu's walking down the street, or if you see him pass by somebody, say, reading a newspaper, and it's got a headline that there's been an accident that's unexplainable, a car flipped over, just little things like that, or walk by a TV that's having a news broadcast that somewhere overseas there's been an attack.
That would be a great way of foreshadowing,
Rewrite did that really well, too, because it foreshadowed so many of the elements that wouldn't become relevant until much, much later, early on.
So, Bowie, I guess that's why you always notice these little things in anime and VN, like you did with Air.
Well, that's just been something that I've always loved, is I hate when things are too in your face with something, because it feels like they're talking down to you with their writing. I like feeling that
Little Busters anime.
Neo root.
I like when it feels like they're appealing to your intelligence. Like, we're going to give you something that is a clue, but you're going to have to work at it to find it. Mm-hmm. We're not just going to give it to you. You've got to go find it. And that's just been something that I've always been a fan of. And like I said, I think Charlotte could have definitely benefited from a little bit of that.
I also don't think that it takes away from not doing that, though. Well, I think it's a benefit. I still think that, well, why does someone like me or Aspie see it? Why does Bowie see the, like, here's another example. Like, people were talking about, why is Now in her underwear? That's unnecessary. Okay. Has the entire series at any point in time even given you even a little glimpse of them panties?
Nope.
What? Why do people care so much about that?
It's all just out there, right? And that's a shift, right? And it's like, it's not particularly foreshadowing, but it's something that is there so that later on it becomes something that you value greatly because you're just kind of like, oh, I didn't see that shit coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you look at
I will never ask for panty shots ever again in my life.
If you look at what foreshadowing really is, it's a setup to work towards a payoff. And that's really the way that I looked at that is the same way. They've set you up. They've used all these little visual things.
They set up your expectations.
Yeah, they've set up your expectations. They've shifted your view from what it may have been going into it towards a certain other way. And then all of a sudden, whenever there's that payoff, it's got that much more impact to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think perspective is really important because I feel like this is why it's something that's so polarizing and so hit or miss for people. It's just some people don't, not everyone thinks the same way, and not everyone's kind of going to end up at that. No one's going to buy into it, and maybe some people will think that's better, and people like things a different way. It's just going to come down to opinion, right? So, like, that's why I say, like, as a final line of defense, is that, well, it's there enough for me, and for at least for me, to say that I've been waiting for this for a very long time.
Yeah, that's okay. True. None of the former champion isn't what any of us expected. But there's also the fact that we treat every episode as like, oh, so this is the main like conflict of the story. Oh, this is the new climax. But it keeps changing. Like in episode 6, that was the big deal. In episode 9, that was the game changer. In episode 11, this is the game changer. But they've all been monster of the week.
And it all is like, regards to tone, it's all like been a really, really good curve of tone shifts. Like, every little aspect of the show has been like even in episode, I think it was 3, whenever Jojiro impaled that dude in the alleyway, I was like, yo, that's kind of hardcore. Like, I wasn't expecting that. And
I like that.
Like, now got punched by that dude and it didn't really seem all that bad. She kind of shrugged it off. I was like, whatever. And then we come to an episode like this where, like, they're no holds bar on their gore and on, like, throwing down. So, like, it's been something that's just been very subtle.
Can we at least reach a point of contention where we believe that this could have been foreshadowed better?
Yeah. Like, if it was foreshadowed better, I'd give this series a 10 out of 10.
I'm addressing Biz specifically here.
Okay.
Do you agree that this could have been done better, Biz?
Sure. It's a 13-episode anime from a dude who doesn't write anime in 13 episodes.
Okay, so we're not really disagreeing that much, I don't think.
No, yeah. I don't think so. But I also think that there's, like, could it be better? Probably. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't foreshadowed differently.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll agree with that, too. You know, I think it's important that we understand that, like, we may have these little disagreements on things like this, but in the end, like, I feel like there's some general points we can all agree on. And that's definitely it, I think.
Yeah.
It could have been done better, but that doesn't make it terrible. There will be some people that disagree. I know there are many people in the forum that have been very vocal that this episode is terrible, and the lead up to this episode has been terrible. If Yared was on, I'm sure he'd be able to speak for that that vocal group. But he's not, so whatever.
So his point doesn't count.
I'm trying to acknowledge his point of view here. You need to keep an open mind about this kind of thing. Yeah, so let's move on to a different topic.
Okay, so on the most part, I enjoyed the episode, but there was just one thing that sort of sort of caught my eye and kind of annoyed me, and it's really not contained in the episode. It's throughout the series. But there were, I think, a few continuity problems throughout the series to this point. The big one, or there's a couple of big ones. The one that sort of first got me is, how would the terrorists know about the time leap ability in the first place? Since considering they're from a complete other country, and by this point he's lost the ability. But then the big one that sort of I noticed is whenever they're talking about Ayumi regaining her memories, and he says it's completely impossible. She'll never get her memories back.
Yeah.
But a couple of episodes back, the first time Yu is brought to the big bad underground shelter and they're talking, Shunsuke asks Pooh. He, like, right whenever they first get there, he sort of pulls him aside, and he's like, Yu still hasn't regained his memories?
Yeah.
And Pooh tells him, he's like, no, he hasn't got his memories back yet. Well, yeah,
that is weird.
which way is it? Is it impossible, or is it he hasn't regained his memories yet? Yeah. Why is it impossible for Ayumi, but we're wondering if Yu has got his memories back yet?
There's even bigger problems than that with regards to memory.
There's a lot of really weird things going on about the whole memory and time leap thing.
If I might cut in. Yu never does regain his memories. He doesn't remember his life with Shunsuke.
Yeah.
What he does regain is that memory of the alternate timeline, which he also should not have.
Yeah.
And I still don't know how he regained it.
And
I love Pepe for mentioning that.
I hope I mentioned it.
I was like,
yeah, you mentioned it, but I love the way Pepe says it. Like,
hey, I mentioned it on Skype days ago.
Yes, it doesn't make any sense that he has the memories from the other timeline. That's true. It doesn't make sense. But the fact that those specifically are the memories that we're, like, kind of talking about, because whenever he talks to Ayumi, he's telling Ayumi that he wants to get, like, the, he wants her to have her memories back from, like, this timeline. He says that's impossible.
Yeah.
And it's also, that's true, because Yu doesn't have his memories from this timeline either. Like, those memories are factually, they don't have them. And they shouldn't have them. Now, what's confusing is that he does have memories from the other timeline, as we've all understood now.
Yu refers to it as a dream, actually.
Could this be a big writing problem? Well, we'll see.
I hope not.
We'll definitely see. But the fact that this is, like, it feels like a rabbit trail, almost, where, like, there's, like, this very clear acknowledgement of these memories that has been brought up multiple times, but none of them are really exact. It's, like, kind of dancing around, like, the elephant in the room, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's almost gotten to the point where, like, the first time I heard about it, I was like, oh, shit, that might be a real problem. And then it happened a second time, and now a third time, I'm just kind of like, okay, wait a second. It almost feels like this is intentional, and I feel like there's probably going to be some other power at play.
Well, I want to bring up something, because I was in the episode 10 podcast, and halfway through I lost my internet, and there was something I wanted to bring up then and couldn't because I fell out at the, halfway through it. But we were talking about memories in that episode, and I noticed something in that episode whenever Yu first sort of has his snapback during the concert, and he wakes up and he's, you know, listening to the music on the computer in the research facility. The first thing he says is the end is a or this is right after he was listening to Trigger, and he wakes up listening to Trigger, and he says the end really is amazing. No matter what happens in the future, or I don't think I will ever be able to forget this song. No matter what happens in the future,
that was very interesting. Word,
wow,
yeah.
And so, like, it got me thinking, and I'm just wondering if maybe it has something to do with Sala, was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because
Sala,
Sarah. We're assuming she had a power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if her power might not have something to do with memories, and that may have something to do with why he's able to remember from this having memories he should not have.
It's still pretty fucking weird that it's from another timeline, though. Like,
how
do you even explain that? like, if there's any explanation, it would have to do with Sala, but I am very concerned that it won't be a satisfactory explanation.
It's like if there is that's an explanation, the running theory, I feel like a lot of people just like people who are like super. It's almost like there are other aspects and key things that people aren't happy with. But anyways, it's not the first time where even if it does kind of get a partial explanation that may be deeply rooted in the fact that it doesn't really have one, that people who are kind of like time freaks and stuff will probably still just not be satisfied anyways. Yeah. So I guess be prepared for that.
You can't make everybody happy.
With this even if it does end up being
something as weird as Silo's powers make it so that people can remember very specific things, people will probably still be like, oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much.
When my response to that would be people having superpowers is bullshit.
That's weird.
I would say be prepared for that.
Yeah, I'm very prepared for the worst.
Yeah.
But I would just say that in regards to all of that, I feel like it is definitely intentional questioning at this point.
Yeah, so just going back, I guess Bowie brought up the point of, like, how they know about the time travel, and I know that brings up a lot of questions, like, maybe they just had this whole plan planned out, like, years ago, and it's just so thorough that if anything were to, like, really go wrong with it, then they'd know that time travel was involved. It's a bit of a stretch, but I can kind of see where they're going with it, I think that's kind of what they meant. Doesn't mean you can't intelligently use time travel to, like, manipulate factors and, like, do it outside of their awareness, I reckon. But it is a bit odd, but I understand where they're coming from with that. Kenan brought up a point, I was talking to him earlier, about how, like, he reckons it was a really, really dumb decision to put Yu into this situation. Because Yu is their last trump card. He's the only one with the time leap ability. So putting him in a situation where it is quite possible that his time travel ability could be disabled, because Shunsuke already knows about, you know, blocking off your vision means you can't use it. He should have, acknowledged that risk, and that was completely disregarded here. And they sent him in anyway, and what do you know, his time travel was disabled, and now they can't do anything about it. Perhaps a smarter move would have been to keep him at the base. And even though they said not to, and, like, it's a really delicate situation, they could have still tried. They could have still sent people that aren't you and try to, like, deal with the situation. And then if they get it wrong,
Use guns.
Use guns. But just...
Does anybody know how many time leaps that it might have taken before Shunsuke's lost his vision?
It's very vague. But
it's vague, but it's a lot.
I mean, it looked like a lot, but it seemed like not as much as you would think. I don't know.
Probably more than 10.
Especially whenever he went from being just kind of like not being able to see to boom, blind, like just like that. Like, he seemed to have a pretty good gauge of like a substantial amount per time leap.
Yeah. I had a number around 6 in my head.
Yeah, I was going to say like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So I'd say, like, it's more.
It's vague.
I guess my response to that would be, like, he's got a point. They definitely could abuse the fact that time travel here is fucking OP. And they can just kind of keep rewinding and rewinding and just kind of going piece by piece.
Yeah.
But a couple pieces that I think are interesting is that Shunsuke says, in regards to going back far enough to try to subvert the plan... He said that there's no guarantee that the actual location would be exact, which would go into contrast with what he says to you, where he's like, just think of this moment. And I kind of wonder if he was like kind of being like, maybe he was taking a risk there and like really trying to get with you and try to control that ability if possible. But that would just be one interesting point there, is that there could be a precision issue. The other thing could be that it could be an issue with, well, if they have to keep retrying and it is as delicate as it may be, then they could fuck things up really easily many times.
And you would go blind.
To be very, very smart to get around it.
Yeah.
But it's still... And you could go blind.
It's still safer than sending their last trump card
in. But there's... Another thing that I wanted to say is that I also don't feel like Shunsuke is all that bright.
Yeah, that's a good topic.
I don't think he's that. I think he's almost, like, overconfident.
He is charismatic, and, like, that's for sure.
When you think about what Shunsuke did and why he lost his eyesight, and he did have to redo things so many times because he just kept fucking up. First off, well, he kept fucking up, so he wasn't very good at it. Maybe you would have been better. We don't know. But eventually he got somewhere, but it cost him basically everything. But he's being, like, really, 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 he wants to support you having the power to be able to do this. And I feel like that's just bad judgment.
You felt not like bad writing, bad
but I feel like Shunsuke's bad judgment is coming.
I still blame Shinichiro for being the one to suggest it, and then Shunsuke just being, all right, let's go with that.
I feel like he was just thinking,
he's
like,
the biggest idiot.
We don't really have an option here that I can really think of, so we're going to go ahead and, you know, go all in with this.
Yeah, it was definitely, like Pippa was saying when we had a talk, that this is probably less bad writing and more just bad judgment, and it shows that Shinsuke isn't perfect.
The reason I want to say that I feel like that's the way, I mean, I hate to say it like that, but I feel like that's the way you should think, is because there's a very, very interesting part of this episode focuses on Shunsuke telling you what he needs to do when he arrives, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, take them over and take their powers, and when you take their powers, check them for weapons. And that's what Yu does, and it's all for naught, because neither of them have powers, and neither of them have weapons. Yep. So Shunsuke's plan was shit, and I feel like that just kind of, like, really plays into it.
Everyone talks Shunsuke up as, like, their mighty leader who's, like, so amazing, but really he's just, like, I feel like he's just an idiot who's tried a
just
lot.
Just another guy.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of his decisions were suggested by things he saw or heard from other people. Like, the idea to make a school was suggested by you, the idea to win the lottery was suggested when you watched TV,
I think he's really strong, and, like, he's definitely very motivated, and I like him. But at the same time, I don't think that he's just... I think he's just got bad decision-making, and, like... I mean, he's kind of young.
Yeah.
There's just pieces of this that kind of... It makes more sense to think that maybe he just... He made the wrong call. And, I mean, there's so many other factors that come into play about this, and it's just part of one of the things that I think this episode is fucking amazing. Is, like, whenever he's talking about the whole situation is basically his fault.
Yeah.
Because he made a bad call to have Furuki even there. He knew that he had a family, so he has a liability, and that is exactly where things came. It bit him in the ass.
Yeah.
And when you go even further to the fact that he's given away everything to get where he is now, and then Kumagami's dead? Now he, like, really, really doesn't have anything. That's part of the reasons why I feel like one of the important directions in this episode is that Shunsuke is going to just be, like, he's just going to be, like, a drone. Like, he doesn't have anything left.
Yeah, that's, like...
He gave up everything and lost.
Like I told Cam before, I got past the point where I judge fictional characters for making stupid decisions. So even if they're being dumb, I can accept that as long as the story works around that and shows them, hey, you were being dumb, and they learn from it.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Biz mentioned that even if the roles had been reversed, you may have been able to do a better job than Shunsuke, which I'm not positive because I don't think you really has the same charisma to, like, pull a group around him. But if you remember when they're talking about the plan... Yu points out to Shunsuke, he's like, I can handle all this as long as there's not a hidden enemy. If I can't see them, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what happens.
Yeah.
They bring out,
they should have. What would have been the ample plan would have been to try and use a couple lives, you know, and, like, see what their layout is.
Yeah.
And then
I agree.
Make your plan based off of that.
I agree.
So anyways, like, getting down to it, we end the episode here where, like, Shunsuke's gambled everything that he's ever had and also lost.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that, it's I remember I mentioned it earlier about how Yu could be, like, taking advantage of trying to go back in time and save a Yumi. I feel like that's basically what Shunsuke became, where he was just so focused on trying to save the world and trying to do all the right things, that he went too far.
Yeah.
And maybe he should have relied on other people a little bit more or something. I don't know what else he could have done, but basically he's lost everything now. And the gravity of the situation is definitely going to hit in the future.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's you know what made me love this episode? The fact that we lost our make everything better power, and now shit is finally starting to, like, hit everyone. Like, we can't go back from this.
There was somebody else that said that you might not want to be too sure about that, and I think that that's valid. I think that they could pull something out of their ass and bullshit their way out of it, but I really hope that they don't.
I have no qualms about having time travel, as long as they write it correctly.
And that's true. I had said before that a really cool way to end this series would be to just, like, Yu gets his time travel ability back, and then they find out that the situation is just like Shunsuke, where he kept trying to fix the situation. I feel like Yu could take the opportunity to just say, fuck the situation. And I think that it would be amazing if he went back in time super far and just prevented anyone from coming in contact with Space Dust so that none of them develop powers.
Okay.
And then they're completely free of it from themselves.
Very.
The world may still go to shit.
Very hard to stop a meteor, a comet.
Well, they just don't inhale the dust. I don't know.
He just runs around in front of everybody waving a fan.
Yeah, like, fuck face masks. Fuck fine now.
Shoot nuclear rockets onto the meteor. I don't know.
Oh, this is terrible.
Well, we'll find out.
We will find out.
Well, I'm glad that the key point is by next episode,
both you and Shunsuke are, well, fucked emotionally.
But what my view is there's a lot of little aspects about this show that are extremely bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
And that while everything really got fucked up, their immediate threat is no longer there.
That's true.
Or at least they can find a way to get rid of them. And they could just go back into hiding and call it good. Until their powers disappear. So that's one possibility. But there are other aspects of the show that I think are really good utensils for, like, just bitter sweetness. Like, for example, if one of the things in the series has been Yu and Nao's development, which is a severe problem with the show that I've had for the past few episodes has been now just not being present and getting wubified by Shunsuke and just kind of becoming super irrelevant whenever I felt like she was super great.
No comment,
like,
on Yusa and Jojo.
They don't really matter. I don't really care. if they don't have anything important for the rest of the series, I don't think it would really bother me any, because I never really expected much out of them to begin with. I had a few fun ideas for them.
Why are they there?
Yu and Nao has always, always, always been...
For some reason.
They're the side main characters.
Yu and Nao have always been massively important. And I think that that's the most important thing. But as far as Yu and Nao is concerned, I was thinking it would be, like, really great for there to be some bittersweetness where, like, Yu is getting all of this, like, motivation and stuff from him liking Nao. But it's been pretty clear... and cut and dry that now definitely just hasn't really turned any of that back to him.
That's true.
So I was thinking there'd be some total bittersweetness of one-sided love, and I would love that.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of things about the tone that I think could fit in really well with this idea of expectations. This idea of, like, Yu's ego and him thinking he can get whatever he wants, and Shunsuke thinking he can save the world, and basically just people in general having this idea that they can do these things whenever they should think a little bit more realistically about
it. That's so true. Even now, like, kind of, she's always, like, very goal-oriented and very focused, and maybe the realization that she can't have anything she wants, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like... People like to talk about narrative, and I still think it's too early to talk about, like, the overall message and stuff. But, granted, I think that's That would be kind of my idea of something that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good direction.
I think that would make the series super valuable as well.
Yeah, like
there's so many directions this series can go, so it's really, really hard to say.
I keep telling everyone that this is post anime because it's the thinking man's anime. It's not the same as typical. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's there. You just kind of have to fill in the blanks yourself. Is it bad writing? I don't know. I think it's kind of cool.
Either way, yeah, as you said, there's so many places we could go from here. Like, Shinsuke is broken, Yu is broken, and we need to come back from this somehow.
Kumagami's broken.
Kumagami's very broken.
Maybe we just accept it for what it is.
Ayumi's still sheltered.
I just really hope they don't, like, bring back time travel, because removing that crutch, because, like, we've been depending on that for the last few episodes as, like, kind of, like, mm-hmm. it really, like, devalues the importance of everything in a way, because you can just do it over again.
I think it was Nick that said time travel has never been, like, the main plot point.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
But it is a crutch, and now that we've had that stripped away from us, it's like, oh god! Like, the shock value is even bigger.
It's just like when I'm talking about the expectations of, oh, not this shit again, right? Like, that would be the perfect, like, there's been so many Maida-isms in the series that have been like, fuck you, like Ayumi's cold and stuff like that. Like, fuck you, it's not Key AIDS. Like, this would be a really great moment of, fuck you, it's not Deus Ex. Like, we've removed the key magic from the scenario.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
I love that.
Yeah. I hope so too. Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll find out next week on episode 12, Promise. We finally get to find out what the promise to come back home is. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. It's been a very exciting episode. Lots of very heated opinions and definitely something we need more of on this podcast, I feel like. Especially thanks to Biz, because I know you've been, like, tirelessly, like, campaigning against the forum, who seem to have opinions that disagree with your own. And I thank you for sharing your opinions here, because I find those especially valuable in this context.
When one man stands alone.
So, yeah, we'll see you next episode. The new episode will be airing shortly in a few hours, so make sure you check that out. Post on the forum, share a discussion, and we'll be sure, if you say something really interesting, we'll be sure to mention you on the next podcast. So until then, guys, take care.
All right, should we stop now?
That was unnecessary.
Oh.